But before that,
before that, so naughty. And everyone was what? All the ladies, what were they doing?
Complaining.
And what was Krishna doing? Just sitting upon, right next to him. Just like that picture. Looking very, very innocent. Just holding on to his mother in that way. Oh, Krishna, you've done this, you've done that, you've done this. So naughty. Mother Yasoda, why are you letting your boy do that? Krishna's just looking. Such a gentle, with his gentle smile. But so naughty. So then, Krishna was accused by Balaram and the other friends of eating dirt, matti. And Krishna replied, "You can look at my mouth if you think that I've eaten dirt. I've never done that." And we'll read texts. Text 37-38. Om Madhyanatamirandasya Dhanajana Salakaya Saksu Samiratan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vadati Sa Pandantikam Vansha Kaupa Turvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaibhucha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So Krishna opened his mouth wide by the order of his mother, by the order of Mother Yasoda, and she saw within his mouth all moving and non-moving entities, outer space, and all directions, along with mountains, islands, oceans, the surface of the earth, the blowing winds, fire, the moon, and the stars. She saw the planetary systems, water, light, air, sky, and creation by transformation of Ahankar. If we've carefully read the second and third cantos of the Bhagavatam, we understand how the entire material manifestation is a combination of Ahankar mixed with what? The three modes of material nature. False ego mixed with passion, goodness, and ignorance. And in the gross material manifestation, earth, water, fire, air, ether, sky, and that is a manifestation of false ego mixed with the mode of ignorance, tamago. So she saw this. She also saw the senses, the mind, the sense perceptions, and the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. She saw the time allotted for the living entities. She saw natural instinct and the reactions of karma. And she saw desires and different varieties of bodies, moving and non-moving. Seeing all these aspects of the cosmic manifestation, along with herself and Vrindavan Dham, she became doubtful and fearful of her son's nature. So there is a competition manifesting here. She, Mother Yasoda, is the personification of Shuddha Vatsalya Prem, the pure, pure, sweet love exhibited by the motherly. She's the reservoir of all motherly love for Krishna, which is so sweet. And motherly love only sees the son. It does not see his opulence. And yet, The opulence of Krishna is manifesting. Krishna's energy, Shakti, of opulence is manifesting. Manifesting the universe. Everything, including Mother Yasoda and Krishna and Vrindavan Dham, seen in the mouth of Krishna. And there is Mother Yasoda's sweetness, and there is the opulence manifesting. Which is going to dominate? The opulence? Just like on the Battle of Kurukshetra, as described prior to the Battle of Kurukshetra, as described in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna shows Arjuna his universal form. And Arjuna has Sakya Prem. He loves Krishna as a friend. But what happens to his friendly mood when he sees the universal form? It's destroyed and he becomes fearful. And he begins to apologize to Krishna for his friendly activities, having lied on the same bed with him, having teased Krishna, shared food, so many things. He apologizes to Krishna, saying, "Oh, I did not realize who you were." Because the opulence energy of Krishna, his Aishwarya, minimized the sweetness of Arjuna's loving and Sakyabhava, his loving relationship as a friend. So which was stronger in the case of Arjuna? Aishwarya Shakti defeated the Madhurya, the sweetness, friendship Shakti. But in Madhya Soda's case, we will see it's the opposite. Her sweetness defeats the Aishwarya, the sweetness of her motherly love. But yet she became doubtful and fearful of her son's nature. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All the cosmic manifestations that exist on the gross and subtle elements, as well as the means of their agitation, the three gunas, the living entity, creation, maintenance, annihilation, and everything going on in the external energy of the Lord, all this comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. Everything is within the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Satcharacharan. Everything in the material nature, Prakriti, works under his control. Because all these manifestations came from Govinda, they could all be visible within the mouth of Govinda. Quite astonishingly, Mother Yasoda was afraid because of intense maternal affection. She could not believe that within the mouth of her son such things could appear. Yet she saw them, and therefore she was struck with fear and wonder. See if Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a comment. We'll just read part of his comment. Krishna showed the variegated universe within which all the different forms of body, within which exists all the different forms of bodies. Tanau means in Krishna's body, but specifically in his belly. Through Krishna's wide open mouth, Yasoda saw all these marvelous things in Krishna's belly. She also saw herself along with her son and husband in Braja. Brahma's words indicate that this vision was of this particular universe. The universe was simultaneously inside Krishna's belly and outside as well by the inconceivable power of Yogamaya. So in Krishna's belly, through looking in his mouth, she saw all the universes, and yet she was existing in the universe. So everything in the universe was simultaneously existing inside Krishna and outside of Krishna. And also Krishna was existing inside of Krishna and outside. And there he was. And Mother Yasoda was existing inside of Krishna and outside of Krishna. She herself was inside and outside. What do you think about that, Jason? Hmm? by showing himself within the universe and by pervading the universe at the same time, Krishna showed his limited and unlimited natures. He is simultaneously limited and unlimited. The vision of the Lord in the universe and the universe in the Lord, which was meant for the Shanta Bhaktas, reverential devotees, was shown to Yasoda, whose lotus feet are touched by the heads of the Madhurya Bhaktas, the intimate confidential devotees. Upon attaining this amazing vision, Yasoda began to worry about her son. This was her mood. She began to, as Prabhupada explained in the last line of his purport, yet she saw them and therefore she was struck with fear and wonder. Mother Yasoda began to argue within herself, is this a dream? Or is it an illusory creation of the external energy? What am I seeing? Has this been manifested by my own intelligence, by my own mind? Am I imagining this? Or is it some mystic power of my child? She's looking and seeing the all-pervading nature of the Lord in something quite inconceivable. She's saying, how is it possible that I'm seeing this? Here's Prabhupada's purport. When Mother Yasoda saw this wonderful manifestation within the mouth of her child, she began to argue within herself about whether it was a dream. Then she considered, I'm not dreaming because my eyes are open. I'm actually seeing what is happening. I'm not sleeping, nor am I dreaming. So it can't be a dream. This may be, maybe this is an illusion created by Devamaya. But that is also not possible. What business would the demigods have showing such things to me? I'm an insignificant woman with no connection with the demigods. Why should they take the trouble to put me into Devamaya? That is also not possible. So it's neither a dream or some illusion created by the demigods, Mother Yasoda thought. Then Mother Yasoda considered whether the vision might be due to some bewilderment. I'm fit in health. I'm not diseased. Why should there be any bewilderment? It is not possible that my brain is deranged, since I'm ordinarily quite fit to think. Then this vision must be due to some mystic power of my son, as predicted by Kagamuni. Thus, she finally concluded that the vision was due to her son's activities and nothing else. Here's what Anikisa. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said something quite similar to what Prabhupada said. So we'll read the next verse. So Mother Yasoda is bewildered thinking like this. Then she said, therefore, and this is very important from many points of view. First of all, to understand the incredible power and potency and purity and fullness of Yasoda's love. But also it is very handy to understand and observe how Mother Yasoda dealt with something that was beyond her conception or beyond her powers of comprehension. So many times, as devotees even, things will happen that how we can think, how is it possible this could happen in the society of devotees? Listen to what Mother Yasoda, how she took something that was beyond her comprehension and what she did with it. So Mother Yasoda said, therefore, let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offer my obeisances unto Him, who is beyond the conception of human speculation, the mind, activities, words, and arguments, who is the original cause of this cosmic manifestation, by whom the entire cosmos is maintained, by whom we can conceive of its existence. What did she do? She simply offered her obeisances to Krishna, the Lord, and surrendered unto Him. Because He is the original cause. He is beyond the conception of human speculation. We can't understand Him, nor can we understand His plan. Why? Because we are tiny and insignificant. Only He understands what reality actually is. We are apportioned a small part of consciousness, but he knows everything. That is the meaning of omniscient. He is the original cause of this cosmic manifestation by whom the entire cosmos is maintained. He's causing everything. He's maintaining everything. And by whom we can conceive of its existence, or even our ability to understand existence, that this, the self-consciousness, or consciousness of existence, we can perceive that this exists. It takes an amount of intelligence beyond the intelligence of animals to perceive something exists, that I exist. Perceive oneself takes some introspective ability, introspective intelligence. So by he gives that, Krishna gives that ability to perceive ourself and him. So let me surrender unto him. Let me simply offer my obeisances, Mother Yasoda says. For he is beyond my contemplation, speculation, and meditation. He is beyond all of my material activities. Here is Prabhupada's purport. One simply has to realize the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not try to understand him by any material means, subtle or gross. Mother Yasoda, being a simple woman, could not find out the real cause of the vision. Therefore, out of maternal affection, she simply offered obeisances unto the Supreme Lord to protect her child. She could do nothing but offer obeisances to the Lord. It is said, Chintya kalo ye bhava natams takena yo jayet, from Mahabharata. One should not try to understand the Supreme Cause, by argument or reasoning. When we are beset by some problem by which we can find no reason, there is no alternative than to surrender to the Supreme Lord and offer our respectful obeisances. Then our position will be secure. This was the means adopted in this instance also by Mother Yasoda. Whatever happens, the original cause of is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Karana Karanam. When the immediate cause cannot be ascertained, let us simply offer obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. What do you think about that? Is this easy to do or difficult to do? Very difficult. Because when the mind becomes agitated, it wants to understand. When it feels disrupted, we should watch and see where our mind tries to look for shelter. But here we see the example of where Mother Yasoda's mind went for shelter. Her mind took shelter of her loving relationship with Krishna. I can't understand this all. Please let Krishna be protected. Very, very difficult. At the time of death, where will our mind go to for shelter? Everything will be disturbed then. We won't be able to think properly. Perhaps there'll be so much pain. Indeed, there will be pain. Where will our mind look for shelter? We can get some indication by where our mind looks for shelter and difficulties in life. Mother Yasoda concluded that the wonderful things she saw within the mouth of her child were due to him, although she could not clearly ascertain the cause. Therefore, when a devotee cannot ascertain the cause of suffering, he concludes, Tate anukampam susamikshamano punjanevatma kritam vipakam vidva vapurvir vidadan namaste jivateyo muktipade sadayavak. The devotee accepts that it is due to his own past misdeeds that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has caused him some small amount of suffering. Thus he offers obeisances to the Lord again and again. Such a devotee is called Mukti Pade Sadayavak. That is, he has guaranteed his liberation from this material world. In other words, if the mind can be trained to unhesitatingly go to Krishna and take shelter of Krishna in all circumstances, then one is liberated. Guaranteed liberation from this world, because one is liberated, practically speaking. Naturally, because one is taking shelter of Krishna. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Matraspajastu Kanteya Sitosna Sukadugada Agamapayano Nityastam Satikshas Vabharata. We should know that material suffering due to the material body will come and go. Therefore, we must tolerate the suffering and proceed with discharging our duty as ordained by our spiritual master. Quite important, but not cheap. In other words, one has to have a great stock of attachment to Krishna to be able to do this. A great stock of attachment to Krishna and much practice making Krishna our shelter. Here's Prabhupada's Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's purport, short purport. No, it's a little bit long. Yasoda rejected the last 41. Yasoda rejected the last reason after seeing her son's hunger, thirst, naughtiness and innocence. Not finding any real cause of the vision. The last reason means that at the end of the purport, the 40, she was saying, this vision must be due to some mystic power of my son, as predicted by Gauga Muni, because we heard earlier in the chapter that Gauga Muni said that this boy will be equal to Narayan. So this was her final reasoning. But she rejected that too, because she saw her son's hunger, his thirst, his naughtiness, and his innocence. He was so naughty, how could he be equal to Narayan? Not finding any real cause of the vision, Yasoda simply offered respects to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who is the ultimate cause of all things beyond our comprehension, and prayed for his protection. So simple, so easy to describe. When we're confronted as we are every day or every 2 days or every week or whatever, find ourselves in circumstances that we don't like, beyond our control, we can't understand, why is this happening to me? This is the only recourse, practically speaking, to take shelter of Krishna. Okay, I can't understand it. Okay, Krishna, what does the mind do when one tries to do that?
Blame other people.
Huh? Blame other people. Or it does something or another. It resists like anything. The last thing the mind wants to do is take shelter of Krishna when it's in that mood. It wants to find some other cause. It wants to point to others. It wants to become angry. It wants to become resentful. It wants to... There's a billion emotions can divert us from what we really should do. And the mind hates. It has aversion. Icha dvesha. It has aversion, dvesha, to taking shelter of Krishna. But it's just a bluff. Because if one, based on the instructions that we're getting from Prabhupada, from Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakur, from Mother Yasoda, if we just do it anyway, the mind will just evaporate into smoke. It will cease to give it will just surrender. But the mind stands up there as if it's so powerful. How could you
think of surrendering to Krishna and taking after what he did to you. Or something, maybe not in those exact words. After, you have all right to be angry, you have all right to be this, and all right to be that. And the mind has such an aversion to simply becoming meek and, okay, Krishna, please take care of me. I don't know what exactly is going on, but please take care of me. I am yours. The mind has an aversion, but it's just a bluff. So in all difficult circumstances, really, this is what one should do. Just take shelter of Krishna. Manmanam baba madbhakto madhiji mannamaskuru. Easy to speak about. Easy to read. Difficult to do because of this one tendency of the mind to be averse to Krishna. Matirna Krishna paritaksvatova. Because of andante gobhya, desire to enjoy the material world. So Vishwanath continues, prayed for his protection. Madhya Yasoda prayed, the Supreme Lord is the shelter of the visible universe. He creates the universe, and he is visible because of the universe. He is the visible cause of the universe. But he cannot be understood by persons like me. Let me simply offer my respects to his lotus feet with my mind, intelligence, actions, and words. May he please remove all disturbances from my child. So here she's looking at Krishna's mouth, she's seeing the universe, and she's praying, may the Lord remove, because he must have some kind of a disease or something, that he has universes within his mouth and in his belly. So please remove these disturbances. Her vatsalya, shuddha vatsalya prem, her pure love, maternal love for Krishna, just completely overpowers this opulence that Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti is showing. Text 42. She continues, it is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I'm wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves of my possession are my possessions, and all the coward men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I also am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter. Prabhupada's purport. Following in the footsteps of Madhya Yasoda, everyone should follow this mentality of renunciation. Whatever wealth, opulence, or whatever else we may possess belongs not to us, but to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate shelter of everyone and the ultimate owner of everything. As stated by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. We should not be proud of our possessions. As expressed by Madhya Yasoda herein, I am not the owner of possessions, the opulent wife of Nanda Maharaj, the estate, the possessions, the cows and calves and the subjects like the gopis and the cowherd men are all given to me. One should give up thinking of my possessions, my son and my husband. Janasya mohayam aham mameti. Nothing belongs to anyone but the Supreme Lord. Only because of illusion do we wrongly think I am existing or everything belongs to me. Thus Madhya Yasoda completely surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. For the moment, she was rather disappointed, thinking, my endeavors to protect my son by charity and other auspicious activities are useless.
The Supreme Lord has given me many things, but unless he takes charge of everything, there is no assurance of protection. I must therefore ultimately seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So continuously, Mother Yasoda and all the gopis and the gopas and all the residents of Vrindavan, they were chanting mantras, they were putting different tavis. What is it in English? There's no such word. Little kavaches, you know, little charm things, you know, like everyone's wearing for protection, but all for Krishna's protection. Always chanting this and chanting that, always worried, trying to, using her own energy, trying to figure out how I can protect Krishna. This was her service, because she was full of motherly love. And then, when she saw Krishna manifest this within his mouth, she thought, all my attempts for protection have failed. Because look what's happening within his mouth. So therefore, I have to take shelter of the ultimate means of protection for Krishna. O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, unless you protect someone, no one is really protected. So therefore, I take shelter of you for Krishna's protection. Her only thought is Krishna's protection. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, 7919, Balasyaneha Sharanam Pitara Nasinga. A father and mother cannot ultimately take care of their children. Ato Griha Chetra Sutapta Vitaya Janasya Mohoyam Mahamameti. One's land, home, wealth, and all of one's possessions belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we wrongly think I am this and these things are mine. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Yasoda prayed, the Supreme Lord maintains and protects my son. If that is so, then what is the use of my foolishly thinking in terms of I and mine? Giving up her false conceptions and surrendering to the Lord, Yasoda speaks, I think that I am the wife of Nanda Maharaj, and that the queen of all the cowherd men and women of Braja. All the wealth and cows are my possessions. I think that Krishna, who is the life of the residents of Braja, is my son, and that I am his maintainer. By daily worship of Vishnu, the Brahmins, and the demigods, by meditation and by giving charity, I myself can give protection to my son. These are all the illusory thoughts that she's giving up. This is all misconception. I should not be so proud, because actually, all of Braja's wealth has come by the mercy of Vishnu. Similarly, it was Vishnu's mercy that my child was protected at every moment from demons like Putana. I should not think that I, as just another mother amongst the common cowherds with earthly sentiments, am his protector. This type of logic is temporary and not permanent in Yasoda. It is similar to the temporary desire of the confirmed materialist to give up wife and family because of some temporary spiritual urge. Why should I do anything to protect Krishna? It's all up to Krishna. It's all up to Vishnu. This is what she's thinking in this dangerous situation. So let me take shelter of Vishnu. But then soon as this situation is over, she'll go back to doing everything she possibly can to protect Krishna. 43. Mother Yasoda.
Did you ask questions at the end?
Yes. Yes, we'll have time. Krishna willing. You can write it down. Or remember it. Okay. Mother Yasoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency, Yogamaya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. Purport. Although Mother Yasoda understood the whole philosophy of life At the next moment, she was overwhelmed by affection for her son by the influence of Yogamaya. Unless she took care of her son Krishna, she thought, how could he be protected? She could not think otherwise, and thus she forgot all her philosophical speculations. This forgetfulness is described by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur as being inspired by the influence of Yogamaya. Mohana Sadhamyamayam. Materialistic persons are captivated by Mahamaya, whereas devotees, by the arrangement of the spiritual energy, are captivated by Yogamaya. We'll read Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's comment, short comment. Discerning the truth in this way, Yasoda desired to give up her sense of possessiveness. But then the Lord, as a small boy, thought, who will cuddle and hold me? When Krishna thought in that way, Yasoda was overcome by the very form of affection for her son, The word mayam in this phrase means affection itself, namely prema in the form of parental affection, vatsalya bhav. The word mayam here indicates bewilderment. In other words, Yasoda became blinded by prema. Because Yasoda was speaking in such a detached way. Who am I to protect anyone? Who do I think I am? And Krishna thought, if she's thinking like this, who will cuddle me? Who will take care of me? This is Krishna. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then immediately, because Krishna's Yogamaya, its purpose is to facilitate Krishna's pleasure. Everything in Vrindavan, its purpose is to facilitate Krishna's pleasure. If we want to go to Vrindavan, we have to make that our purpose. How can we facilitate Krishna's pleasure? So immediately, this Maya, the Yogamaya, Krishna's internal energy, blinded Madhya Soda's philosophical understanding of reality. And again, her maternal affection that would mean that she's always protecting and worrying about Krishna, overpowered. Text 44. Immediately forgetting Yogamaya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Madhya Yasoda took her son on her lap as before, feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. Purport. Short purport by Prabhupada. Madhya Yasoda regarded the vision of the universal form within Krishna's mouth as an arrangement of Yogamaya, like a dream. As one forgets everything after a dream, Madhya Yasoda immediately forgot the entire incident. As her natural feeling of affection increased, she decided to herself, now let this incident be forgotten. I do not mind. Here is my son. Let me kiss him. In the comment of Srila Vishwanath, we'll just read a little of it. Sukadev describes Yashoda as Pravridha Sneha Kalila Riddaya. Pravridha Sneha Kalila Riddaya in the text 44. Pravridha increased Sneha affection, affected Kalila Riddaya. In the core of her heart, she experienced increased affection for Krishna. One whose heart was completely covered with increased affection. She couldn't think of anything else. Yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, universes come from the pores of his skin holes as his expansion of Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. Yes, everything in material existence rests upon him. Everything in spiritual existence rests upon him. But her heart was completely covered by affection for Krishna, and she could not think of anything else. So this knowledge was there, but it was covered by the Yogamaya potency, which awards, which allows the sweetness of Braja to dominate everything else. Just like now, we may get some knowledge, we may understand, we may read
We may hear a very good Bhagavad Gita class or read Prabhupada's words in the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or Chaitanya Charitamrita, or hear one of Prabhupada's lectures or someone else give a lecture, and then knowledge becomes dominant in our mind, and then in 5 seconds later perhaps we go outside and we start joking with our friends, and our knowledge becomes covered so quickly by Mahamaya. But here Mother Yasoda's situation is completely different. Her knowledge becomes covered by Yogamaya, Krishna's internal energy, because we have taken shelter of the Mahamaya of Krishna. Now, tiny souls that we are, we need a shelter. We have to change that shelter to the internal energy of Krishna. And then these type of actions are what occur. And then we'll answer, we'll call for your question, please. 45. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, through Upanishads, the literature of Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literatures. Yet Mother Yasoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. So remember that this incident took place after we heard of Krishna stealing butter. He would steal butter, and a gopa would say, "You're a thief," and then he would reply, "You're a thief, I'm not a thief, you're a thief." And in a sense, it's certainly true, because who does everything in existence belong to? And we're using it, if it's ours, who's the thief? But so he was being so naughty, pinching the babies, and then the thought may come to our mind, is this really the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How is it possible? He's so naughty. And then immediately after, he's eating dirt. And when he opens his mouth, though, everything in this universe becomes visible. So yes, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then why is he naughty? Why does he steal butter? Why does he crawl around? Why does he pinch the babies? Why does he talk back to the gopas? Why does he pull the saris of the gopis? Why? It's because he wants to. This is his way of increasing the ecstasy of his devotees, the beloved residents of Vrindavan. It is actually for their pleasure. But there's no explanation other than this is springing from the innate desire of the Supreme Lord to enjoy existence. He's Anandamaya Bhyasat. His very nature is blissful. He's the personification of bliss. And everything he does is blissful and good. And these are the pastimes, the activities of the all blissful, the all good. Yet Mother Yasoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. The Shastras of the world, regardless of the whatever religion it is, they are all simply met. The three Vedas, the Upanishads, Sankhya Yoga, they are all meant to lead one to an understanding of the majestic Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom Mother Yasoda considered her ordinary child. This is the potency of Yogamaya, of her interacting with her Vatsalya Prem. There's a fairly lengthy purport here. I want to ask you a question, and then we'll
the purport. Mm-hmm. There's a comment, I think it was in Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's purport,
yes.
Text 42, that was about the temporary sensitive renunciation of a person with a family. I missed the point.
Okay. Just like someone, a materialist
sometimes, every once in a while, say he goes to a funeral, or something happens, or he sees an accident, and suddenly some religious sentiment may overcome him, and the spirit of renunciation may come to visit his heart for a short time. But then it quickly leaves as he re-engages himself in his materialistic activities. Because has the shelter of Mahamaya. But a devotee, it's similar and seemingly parallel, a devotee like Mother Yasoda, but it's just the opposite. So this knowledge, this knowledge of renunciation gets covered by Yoga Maya. And what's the difference? Mahamaya, when it covers a materialist, it places him in the center of existence. And Yoga Maya, when it covers a spiritualist, places Krishna in the center of existence, loving relationship with Krishna. Yeah? Is that okay? Okay, here's Prabhupada's purport. So this was, in one sense, this is the conclusion. This text 45 is the conclusion of the pastime. It tells what we are supposed to notice, that just see that the Supreme Lord, who is the object of vision of all scriptures, it doesn't mention it, but the scriptures speak of charity, austerity, sacrifices, knowledge. That Lord who is the object, who is to be gained through these things, Mother Yasoda is considered like an ordinary child. And very difficult to understand other than for the most fortunate, actually. So here's Prabhupada's purport. And this is the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement, this type of prema. Prema pamarto mahan, Mahaprabhu said. No one can love arajyo bhagavan braje sitanayo tadhamam vrindavanam. No one can love or serve or worship the Supreme Lord in a better way than the residents of Vrindavan. This is the highest form of worship, what Mother Yasoda is doing. Maybe so many spiritualists will offer their prayers, offer sacrifices, renounce the world to please him. But this is the highest method of pleasing him, this pure love. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the purpose of studying the Vedas is to understand him. Vedescha sarvara hameva vedya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami that there are three purposes in the Vedas. One is to understand our relationship with Krishna, sambandha. Another is to act according to that relationship, abhideya. And the third is to reach the ultimate goal, prayojan. The word prayojan means necessities. And the ultimate necessity is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, prema pumharto mahan. The greatest necessity for a human being is the achievement of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here, isn't that interesting to think of prema bhakti as the necessity? People usually think of something religious not as a necessity, but something that's done quite extra in your spare time, if you have spare time. But here, the goal is prema. This is prayojan. This is the actual necessity of life. And here we see that Mother Yasoda is on the highest stage of necessity, for she is completely absorbed in love for Krishna. In the beginning, the Vedic purpose is pursued in three ways, by karmakanda, jnanakanda, and upasanakanda.
When one reaches the complete perfect stage of Upasanakan, one comes to worship Narayan or Lord Vishnu. When Parvati asks Lord Mahadev, Lord Shiva, what is the best method of Upasana or worship, Lord Shiva answered, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Vishnu Pasana or Vishnu Aradhana, worship of Lord Vishnu, is the highest stage of perfection as realized by Devaki. But here, Mother Yasoda performs no Upasana, for she has developed transcendental ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, her position is better than that of Devaki. In order to show this, Srila Vyasadeva enunciates this verse, Traya Chapon Chapon Ishadavi. When a human being enters into the study of the Vedas to attain Vidya knowledge, he begins to take part in human civilization. Then he advances further to study the Upanishads and gains Brahma Jnana and personal realization of the Absolute Truth. And then he advances still further to Sankhya Yoga in order to understand the Supreme Controller, who is indicated in Bhagavad Gita, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham, Shashvatam. When one understands that Purusha, the Supreme Controller, to be Paramatma, one is engaged in the method of yoga. But Mother Yasoda has surpassed all of these stages. She has come to the platform of loving Krishna as her beloved child. And therefore, she is accepted to be on the highest stage of spiritual realization. The Absolute Truth is realized in three features, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Sabyate. But she is in such ecstasy that she does not care to understand what is Brahman, what is Paramatma, or what is Bhagavan. Therefore, there is no comparison to Mother Yasoda's good fortune, as declared by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramyaka Chirupasana Vraja Vadubhir Vagena Vakalpita. The Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, may be realized in different stages. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Yayetam Mam Prapadyante. Partha Sarvesha. As men surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. One may be a Kami, a Jnani, a Yogi, and then a Bhakta or Prema Bhakta, but the ultimate stage of realization is Prema Bhakti, as actually demonstrated by Mother Yasoda. Well, this is what you're referring to. One may take this as a Parivasa Sutra. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. It's a long purport, but I won't read it all. But without regard for time or place, Mother considered the all-powerful Lord, who is glorified directly and indirectly in the scriptures, as an ordinary child. Mother Yasoda thought, by the mercy of our powerful family deity, Lord Narayan, who has been satisfied with the austerities and worship executed by Nanda Maharaj and me, and who has been satisfied with the many austerities of Paujanya Maharaj, by his mercy I have been given this son, who the Karmis glorify as the absolute truth propounded in the scriptures. People accept this because of Gargamuni's statement that Krishna is equal in quality to Narayan, and because of the stories of Krishna's killing gigantic demons like Putin and others. Therefore, everyone believes my son is Narayan, but actually, he is just my child. If he does not see me for a moment, he becomes very disturbed. I also become disturbed when separated a moment from him. Our experience is the proof. In this way, Mother Yasoda thought about Krishna. As the fruit of workers think of the Lord as the Jagya Purusha, according to the Vedas, similarly, Yasoda thought of the Lord as the Lord, just as her son, Dudha Vatsalya Prem, just as Krishna gives results to the karmis who worship him, he reciprocated with Yasoda's maternal affection. But Krishna could not respond fully to the amount of affection offered by Yasoda. Remaining a debtor, Krishna was content to be dependent on Yasoda's mercy and control and cry for her milk. This will become clear in later chapters. One should take this verse that glorifies Mother Yasoda, considering Krishna our ordinary child, as a Parivasa Sutra of Krishna Lila. As a lamp sits in one place in a dark room and lights up the whole room, so that statement in the scriptures which can reveal the meaning of all scriptures or regulate the meaning of the scriptures is called a Parivasa Sutra. This verse stands as a regulator for all the pastimes related to Aishwarya shown during Krishna's Komara and Kaishor Leelas, ages in Mathura, Kurukshetra, and elsewhere. Any questions or comments? Brenda, do you have any questions or comments? How was your day at school today?
Good.
Did you actually learn something wonderful?
No.
Did you learn something a little bit wonderful?
No.
Did you learn anything?
Yeah.
What did you learn? Tell us something. Tell us what the best thing you learned in school today was.
That sugar dissolves faster in hot water.
That's practical. I have to admit that. Sugar dissolves faster in hot water. Once, after he came home from school, Prahlad Maharaj's father, you know the name of Prahlad Maharaj's father? Yes. He took his little boy on his lap and said, "What was the best thing you learned in school today?" And Prahlad answered, "You could not understand." Why? Because you're a demon. Basically, that's what he said. Matir na krishne paratak svatovat, because you have made a vow that to enjoy your senses is the goal of your life. You can never understand what the best thing is. What is the best thing? And later Prahlad said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, to always hear about and remember and speak about Krishna. That is the best thing. And what do you think Hiranyakashipu did? You think he was so happy? Oh, Prahlad, you're such a nice devotee. Thank you.
No.
No. He became angry. Throw him down. You're so fortunate because your parents would be so happy if you said that this is the best thing, to always remember Krishna. Prahlad was such a good devotee that Krishna would appear to him in his heart, in his mind. And when he couldn't see Krishna in his heart, sometimes Krishna would appear and he would laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and play with Krishna. And then when Krishna would disappear from his mind, he would cry and cry and cry and cry. And Krishna would have these pastimes in his heart and mind. This Prahlad was so wonderful. A devotee. Thank you for coming. Yes?
How do we develop the relationship with Krishna in the different relationship,
as
a parent,
as a friend. But first we have to develop the relationship with Krishna as a servant and get that to be purely situated in our hearts. So that's the first step. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to convince us that we don't belong in the material world trying to be the master, but we're really meant to be servants of Krishna. And then as we progress on that path, then gradually going through the different stages, it develops.
Yeah.
into one of the different rasas that were particular. Because we can't just love Krishna in general, or that's one stage. But as the, to intensify further the love, it has to develop into a particular rasa which is natural within the living entity's heart. So when the seed of the love that is in our heart already starts to, when it is watered properly and grows out of this world and takes shelter of Krishna, then the fruit of our Krishna consciousness, which is prema bhakti, that develops into a particular rasa. But it's not of this world, it is out of this world.
What age were Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj at that time?
They were older, because Nanda Maharaj, his beard is compared to, what color is it? Huh? Is it jute? But it's blackish, I think, with white in it already. Salt and pepper. Black and white, his beard. So that means he's already old, and that's why everyone was so astonished, because Krishna took birth when he was already quite elderly. So how old is someone with a salt and pepper beard? We can ask Yadu. Mine, it's already fallen out. Everything's fallen out. No use asking me. Huh? How old, Zakhtini, do you know how old?
50.
And you know what happens when someone who's 50 has a young, playful son? They can't control them at all. What to speak of when that boy happens to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller. But at this time, Mother Yasoda was controlling him. He had to come to Mother Yasoda. Oh, Mother. Oh, Ma. Milk. Okay, so on next Wednesday, Krishna willing, we shall continue. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.